We're holding on pay outlook for Bayes by the mission.
Still talking about cases of things of Carbonus that got mixed up, which has been the subject of the whole parak. The Mishnah says, and he turned the thing. Now we know that among Chatois, particularly of all the Carbonus you have, that most Carbonus, the blood is sprinkled or applied in various ways to the outer mizbeah. But then you have among Chatois, you have the ones where the blood, some of them where the blood is brought into the Heichol, the Carbonus of some of the Carbonus of Yom Kippur, the Parhelam Gavashot Tibur, and a couple of others. Those are called Chatois Apnigis. So the Mishnah says, "Hanitonim b'fnim." If you have blood from chatoris that are supposed to be done inside the heichal, shenis arum l'tonim b'chutz, where that blood was mixed up with blood that's supposed to be applied on the outer mizbeach, yishofol amah, then we should pour them out into the amah, into the water channel in the mizbeach. Meaning the water channel in the Azara, meaning it's possible, and we can't be machshir it. In previous Mishnayos, we had Rabbi Eliezer saying that you could apply it in the two places where it could conceivably be, and we would consider whatever is being applied in the wrong place as though it's water called Royin. The Gemara is going to explain why Rabbi Eliezer does not hold that over here, why he seems to concede to the Chachamim that you have no choice but to pour it into the Amma and consider it possible. But if he then, instead of asking, if he went and applied this mixture of blood on the outside, and then he went and did it inside the hazel, kosher, then it will be kosher because one way or the other, then so now, based on the previous sugyas of the last few Nafim, we'd have to discuss whether yesh bila or ein bila. Do we consider that the blood is evenly mixed or not? The chlal are we talking about over here? Whether the actual blood was mixed together in a container, or whether we're just talking about two containers, two kosis that were mixed up? The various possibilities about what we might have to do over here. The point is that here he did the blood outside. So fine, whatever was supposed to be done outside, then at least some of it was done. was done outside. And then he did it on the inside of his bear. Because now each one has been done in the appropriate place. But if he did it inside the heichal and then did the rest of it outside, now you have a problem. Rabbi Akiva Koisel, Rabbi Akiva would hold that is now possible. I'm not sure in the Chum say it would be possible. Now, why does Rabbi Akiva say it's possible? Pasuk tells us, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, the Pasuk says, for all chatas that should yuva midama al oil moyed, any chatas with what is brought into the oil moyed, namely into the heichal, then that korban has to be burnt and cannot be eaten. So now, does that apply only to a chatas, or does it apply to other korbanas as well? Rabbi Akiva holds that it applies to all korbanas, as we're going to see now. And as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, why Rabbi Akiva holds that, even though on the face of it, the Pasuk is talking only about a chatas. So, but Rabbi Akiva holds, kol damim shenichnas l'chaper v'heichel, any blood that was brought into the heichel to be mechaper, in this case, to sprinkle psulin, then that korban is going to be possible. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, so let's say you have blood of a chatas apnimis that was mixed up with a shlomim, let's say, you can't now bring the mixed up blood into the heichel and sprinkle it and then go do it on the outer mizbeach. That's a problem, says Rabbi Akiva. The shlomim will be possible. So no good. But if you did first on the outside and then on the inside, fine. At least some of the blood of the shlomin was placed on the mizbeach hachitz, and the fact that now you're bringing it inside, then that doesn't matter. It's already been niskat. The chum say no. That din about going into the heichel with the blood would apply only to a chatas. As the Gemara will explain why the Chum say that. Rabbi Eliezer says that an Osham would be in the same category. Shenema kachatas ka'osham is because he says that the Pasuk compares a chatas to an Osham. So the same way as at the beginning of the Masechta we talked about that according to him, for example, the concept of a korban being possible shaloi l'shmoi, we learned from a drasha that it applies to a chatas, and Rabbi Eliezer says an osham as well because of this concept. The same way over here, when you have according to the chachamim that the psul of blood entering the heifel applies to a chatas, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to say an osham as well because they're considered the same thing as far as that goes. Now, Tosfos does point out that earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara had discussed the opinion of Shmuel that says that shaloyim koyma kim koyma dami. When you have blood applied in the wrong place, on the mizbeach or the kevesh or whatever, it's considered to a certain extent as though it was applied in the right place. Now, that being the case, then, if he did, so here, we're talking about, let's say, the shlomim, the blood of the shlomim was mixed with the blood of the chatoris epidemius. If you were to now do the shlomim outside and then go bring it inside, you would have to have in mind that what you're bringing inside, whatever of it is the shlomim blood, would be considered water. So we would still have to apply this concept of royin that we mentioned in earlier Mishnayot and in the Gemara. Because otherwise you've already applied the blood of not only applied the blood of the shlomim correctly, because on the outer mizbeach, but even the blood of the chatas apnimius to some extent has been applied correctly because it was applied to a mizbeach, even though it was the wrong one. So therefore, in the same thing over here, then what he would have to do is he would have to be applying the blood to the outer mizbeach, then have in mind when he brings it inside that whatever needs to be sprinkled, so have in mind in both places, what he's applying to the outer mizbeach, whatever is not necessary should be considered like water. And then when he goes inside, again, whatever is going to be done inside should also be considered like water. Although Tosfos says in that case that if he considers that like water, then why indeed would it be possible? Well, then why, if he does it the other way around, would it be possible? After all, in that case, he's not bringing it in to be mechaper, so what's the problem? So the Gemara asks, "Niflag nami Rav Eliezer b'chol." The question is, in the beginning of our Mishnah, when we're saying that Yishofchol Amah, we should pour it out into the Amah and not do this business of Ruyin, we're only doing Ruyin, only B'dievet, if we did it inside and then outside. So now, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer argue in the first case of our Mishnah and say, why should you have to pour it into the Amah, do it L'chatchila in the way that we're saying, outside and then inside, because he holds of Ruyin? And the answer is Heichi Levin, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, how would you do it? Nesav b'chutz v'hod nesav l'fnin, should we say that he should do, like the Mishnah is saying, you do the d'yevet, so should he do l'chatchila, to do the one on the outside and then the inside? Can't. K'shem shem mitzvah l'hakdim al yonam l'tachtonim, just like, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that there's a mitzvah to do, when you have blood that goes on the top half of the mizbeach and on the bottom half, let's say they didn't get mixed up, but you have two korbanos in front of you, you have a chatas and you have an oila, for example, and the blood of the chatas goes on the top half and the blood of the oila goes on the bottom half. You do the one that's on the top half first, because that's considered more important, because a chatas, after all, is mechapa for chai v'krisis, and that's considered much more significant. The same way, there was a mitzvah to do blood that's supposed to be in the inside on the mizbeach hapnimi before the mizbeach hachitzen. So you shouldn't l'chatchila go and do the other way around. Now, to be sure, if you do it that way, you will be maxed for both korbanos, as on the Shnad said. Nevertheless, the Avnei Nezer points out from this, you see that you shouldn't do that l'chatchila. So he said like this: if the blood was actually mixed together in one container, then sure, we might do that, and we might say royin. But here we're talking about where it's not the actual blood was mixed up; it's just we mixed up the containers, so we don't know which is which. And because of that, because we don't know better, is not a reason to go and override the l'chatchila dika thing of doing the pnim before the chitzen. And therefore, we shouldn't do that. So, but yeah, that he did that, then fine. But Rabbi Eliezer doesn't want him to do that l'chatchila. What about the nesiv l'fnim v'hodur nesiv l'chutz? Should he do on the inside and then do on the outside? Which the Mishnah said Rabbi Akiva would hold it's possible, but the rest of the Chacham hold that that's fine. The Gemara says that's true. But given the ikka chatas for osham, but the fact is, you have, according to everybody, you have a chatas, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, you also have the osham, the ki nichnas daman psulin, and the fact is, if you bring their blood into the heichel of a chatas chitzona, and according to Rabbi Eliezer of an osham, it will be possible, lo psikolei, so Rabbi Eliezer cannot say as a blanket statement that you should do the pnim versus the chutz. In other words, it is true. If, for example, shlomim blood was mixed up with with chatas apnimis blood, whether mixed up in one container or whether the containers were mixed up, it's true. Rabbi Eliezer could well say, go ahead and do it with pnim and then do it, go do it l'chutz. But he can't make a blanket statement to that effect in the Mishnah, because then we would think the same thing applies to a chatas on an osham. And that would be no good, because then you bring the blood inside, then it becomes chosel. Therefore, the Tana of the Mishnah just says, Yishof Hula Amah, And Rabbi Eliezer doesn't disagree, because there are indeed cases where he would agree that you shop Kalama, even though there are other cases where he says that because he holds of the concept of Royan, that yes, you could bring it inside and consider whatever doesn't need to be there as though it was water, and then do outside, and it would work. But not always is that going to be the case, because it depends whether the one that got mixed with the Chatas Pnimius was a Chatas Tzitzona or an Osha. So that explains why Rabbi Eliezer does not explicitly argue in our Mishnah. Next, the Mishnah had said Shahayu Rabbi Akiva Oymer B'Choler. Rabbi Akiva had said that with this concept that the blood is possible if it's brought into the Heichal applies to all korbanos, not just the chatas. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now the pasuk says V'chol chatas such a yuvam midama. So why does Rabbi Akiva say that applies to other korbanos as well? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Moshel Lamar Davadema. What can we compare Rabbi Akiva's opinion to? L'talmud shemozik l'rabbi b'chamin. Suppose that a student was pouring hot water into his Rebbe's cup of wine. In those times, the wine we find throughout Shas was very thick or high alcohol content or syrupy or whatever it was, and you wouldn't drink it neat. You would dilute it with water. They could dilute it either with cold water or hot. So now the Talmud, and a Talmud is supposed to be serving his Rebbe, not just learning Torah from him, but as the Gemara says in various places, G'dor l'shimusha shel Torah yosim l'lamuda, to serve a Talmud Chacham is even greater than learning Torah from him. So now the Talmud is pouring hot water for his Rebbe into his cup, but Amalai Mizoigli, and his Rebbe says to him, pour for me. Now there are different gusois over here exactly what in the marshal exactly what the Rebbe says. Is he just saying mizogli, pour for me without saying anything else? Or Karen Ura points out that Rashi's gusa would have been mizogli b'chamin, pour for me hot water. In any case, so Omaloi, so the Talmud asks him, Bameh, what should I pour? Omaloi, Loi b'chamin onu asfukin. So the Rebbe says to him, we've been dealing all this time with hot water. So if I hadn't, so I wouldn't have had to tell you anything. So if I'm telling you to pour, Achshav, now that I'm saying pour, Bein b'chamin, Bein b'tzonin, that I'm implying to add something to what I said before, meaning before you were doing hot water. Now, by saying mizug, which you were already doing, I'm implying that you can do also cold water if you prefer. So hokanami. So now the nimshal is the same thing. Mechti b'chatas askin and v'asi. The previous psukim before this one are talking about a chatas already, because the pasuk is talking about zois teres achatas, and it describes the details of where the chatas is shechted and what's done with the blood and so on and so forth. Chatas the kosev rachman olamali. So why in our pasuk would the Torah have to say v'chol chatas asher yuvam midama? Just say v'asher yuvam midama. Therefore, Ella lav chatas kamin Allah. Therefore, the Torah is hinting by that. So Hashem is saying, I'm not only talking about a chatas, Ella kol kodshim. I'm referring to all kodshim as well. So I'm repeating the word chatas as if to say, not only the chatas is in this category, which you would say there is a chiddush in that, because after all, chatas, the class of chatos, includes some where the blood is supposed to be brought into the heichal. No other korban has that type of thing. So we have to be told the chatas as well, but in fact it means not only the chatas, otherwise he wouldn't have said anything at all, but rather it means that it means all other korbanos as well. So the Gemara says maskeflo. So that would explain Rabbi Akiva's opinion. However, maskeflo Rav Huna Brei Rishua, but Rav Huna Brei Rishua says, wait. Let's look at the sequence of psukim. The pasuk does start by saying zois teres achatas, and then it describes the details of the chatas. But then let's consider in between, after it discusses the chatas, after that you have a couple of psukim that describe the concept of miriko shtifa. Namely, we're going to learn about it in detail in the 11th parak of our Masechta in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, that the Torah tells us when you use a keli to cook a korban in, then afterwards you have to do merika, a shtifa, which is scouring it out and washing it out. We're going to learn later on when we discuss this in the 11th parak about the details of it. It does apply to all kodshim. Although Tosfos points out there is an opinion there that says that Kodshim Kalam do not require it. But the majority opinion is that it applies to all korbanos. Does it also mean the keli has to be kashered and then in addition it needs medical shtifa, or is this instead of kashering? We'll deal with all of that when we get to it, Ezra Shem. In any case, when the, in between, the pasuk says that when a korban is cooked in a pot, then you need to scour out the pot. The point being, in other words, that the pot absorbs taste from the korban, and now that taste, with those molecules of taste, will eventually become noiser. So therefore, you have to clean it out, just so that the next time you cook in the pot, you're not having it exude noiser into the.
And then you use clay pots.
So that actually, the pasuk actually says, if it was a clay pot, you can't cast it. You have to break it.
Right, that's the thing. They use clay pots, so they would break it.
They would break it. But the pasuk also says that if it was a copper pot or any other metal, then so what the pasuk says is an earthenware pot in which the korban is cooked, you shover, has to be broken because you can't catch it. If it was cooked in a copper or other metal pot, load up for shuka tamoy, and then you do medikul shtifa. The point is that applies to all korbanos. Later on, the Gemara explains when we deal with those dinim in the 11th parent. Now that applies not only to a chatas and other, but to other korbanos as well. So if you're telling me Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that the fact that the Torah repeats the word chatas by the case of bringing the blood in, which is pasuk chaf gimel of that perek, but meanwhile so in fact it's pasuk yud ches began zos teras chatas and it discusses the details.
What I don't understand, I hope I don't get too deep.
No, it's okay.
Is that how can something become a noisar if it can't boil it?
Because the fact is, those molecules are noser. They got absorbed into the pot, and now they become noser. It's a similar concept as, for example, kasher and kalim before Pesach, or kasher and kalim between meat and milk, or whatever. Right. The idea is that tam ke'ikr, the taste of it gets absorbed into the walls, and the next time it exudes out into the next thing you
get. They get back then, they don't have soap. Like
no, it's not even a matter of soap. I mean, there are posts we'll talk about that maybe if you wash it with soap or whatever, it makes it nosen tam gam, so it wouldn't be on a daraisa level, it wouldn't be also, but still, there's still the concept of kashering. And again, the question is whether the miriko shifa here is instead of kashering in addition, whatever. That's a side point. We'll deal with that when we get to this later on in the Masechta Bez Lashem. In any case, the point is like this. Pasuk Yud Ches begins Zos Teref HaChapas. In Pasuk Yud Ches, Yud Tes, and Chof then deal with the details of the Chatas. Then Chof Aleph and Chof Beis deal with these dinim about Miriko Shif. Now, in Pasuk Chof Gimel, it says V'chol Chatas. So now, by your logic, says Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rabishua, Chatas T'kos of Rahman Olavali, why would the Torah have to repeat in Pasuk Chof Gimel and say the word Chatas? We would say Pasuk Chof Aleph Chof Beis are talking about all Korbanos. On the contrary, would that mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, the concept of Miriko Shifa applies only to Chatas and not to all the other Korbanos? It's not so. On the contrary, when it says Chatas over there, it doesn't mean only the Chatas, it means all Korbanos. So you can't say we were talking exclusively about chatas, and therefore when it says chatas, it means only that. Just the opposite. We were talking about other korbanos in between, so there's a very good reason for it to say chatas specifically, and to say, therefore, that the concept of blood being brought into the heichal and becoming possible applies only to a chatas. So what are you telling me? That because, like this moshul with the Rebbe and the Talmud, and we've been dealing with hot water, and therefore if I say pour me, it means cold water as well. That would work if the pasuk had been talking exclusively about chatas, but here in between we have psukim that are talking about a different korban. And Rabbi Akiva agrees
with it. You're saying is you can't use the assumption to assume that because of that, because I lost it.
The point is, in other words, if it went straight through, if it was talking about chatas, and then it said b'chol chatas, then you're right. But since in between you have psukim that talk about another korban, just the opposite. We would say, why does it need to say b'chol chatas? To tell us that the next, here we were talking about chatas, then we're talking about other korbanos, and now we're back to chatas.
Doing the intention.
Yeah, that's the point. So now Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Shmuel that Rabbi Akiva is darshaning his din from the fact that it says chatas where it was unnecessary, but Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rabishua's point is it's very necessary because we started with chatas, then we digressed to other korbanos, and now we're back to chatas.
I'm just failing to see the point of how it's changed to the temperature of the water.
I don't understand where the temperature of the water. Okay. Right now, the point is there is a concept of Miriko Shifa. We don't need right now to deal with the details of that din. We just need to know that there is. The Torah is telling us that when you cook a korban in a pot, then afterwards that pot needs to be cleaned out.
Right.
In order
to... the pouring of the hot water.
That was a mushel. That was, we said there was a mushel of a Rebbe and a Talmud who said, the Talmud is pouring him hot water, and the Rebbe says, pour me, and we're meant to understand that that means not just hot water, you can pour cold water instead. So Rabbi Yehuda had told us that Rabbi Akiva is saying the same thing. Since it was already talking about chatas, if now it says chatas again, it needs to include other korbanos as well. Otherwise, there's no need to say.
Okay,
but the point of Rabbi Yehoshua is saying is that between we had other korbanos.
Right. So because it talks about chatas in certain path that it has to be kashered, and we're talking about chatas in general, therefore we learn that if you cook any carbon in a pot.
Yeah, then you have to clean it out.
Got it.
Now, when it says chatas again, it does be that it's repeating the word chatas unnecessarily.
Right.
Just the opposite. It would be telling us that only chatas.
I just want to understand the mushroom. And the reason why we came up with the cup was...
just to illustrate the idea.
That it's
when, when you're talking about something, when you're already dealing with a particular thing, you don't need to repeat it again.
Right, but if the Rebbe says pour me, does that mean automatically hot water?
No, that's her head. It means hot or cold water.
Hot or cold
water. Hot or cold, because he's already pouring him. Is he ready for him?
What do you mean? So if he's like in the middle of the
pouring? He's in the middle of the pouring, and he tells him pour me. So that now then flies. Don't just, you can pour, not just the hot water that you're doing. You can also pour cold water.
So someone starts pouring, and you say continue.
Okay, let's not get hung up too much on the muscles.
I understand. I got it. I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
Everything.
Yeah, I understand it. Okay.
So I'm half asleep, but I'm really trying to push myself.
Okay. Yeah. So the point is, in other words, Rav Huna Ber de Rishua says, no, b'holoi damia ela, rather, you want to compare it, I'll show you a different comparison. The Talmud shemozeg l'rabid bein b'chanin bein b'tzonin, just the opposite. The Talmud is pouring hot and cold water for different cups. Amalei al timzeg v'ela chamin, and the Rebbe says, don't pour me only hot water, where obviously then he means hot water and nothing else. So the same way, if it says chatas, then it says other korbanos, and then it says chatas again, just the opposite. Chatas would mean only chatas, nothing else. So how can Rabbi Akiva be using that word to say fakir, that it means all the other korbanos as well?
Right. So the same thing is used now to switch.
No. Ela time of Rabbi Akiva, rather, like Moses says, no, Rabbi Akiva's reasoning why he says that the din of taking blood into the heichel makes the korban pasul, that it applies to all korbanos, is michatas v'chol chatas. Because the pasuk could have just said, chatas, such a yuvah midama, and it says v'chol chatas. So therefore we've learned from that it means other things as well. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. Chatas, when the Pasuk says chatas in this connection, ainli ela chatas, you would only know that it applies to chatas, but if you bring the blood of a chatas chitzoina into the heichel, then it makes it possible. Kodshe kodshim minayin, how do we know that it applies to other kodshe kodshim, Ola and Osham and the rest of them, Talmud lema kol chatas, then therefore the word kol chatas includes them, kodshim kalim minayin, how do we know it also applies to kodshim kalim, Talmud lema v'chol chatas, and therefore you have the vav of v'chol chatas. So now with the vav and the kol, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says it teaches us that all korbanos are included. Now, the fact is, like Rashi had said before, that chatas is unique in that class of korban does have ones that are normally brought into the heichel, namely the chatoris apnimius. So therefore, the Olas Shloimeh explains, the pasuk could not have left out the words b'chol chatas altogether, and we would say, if we mentioned about kibbeh, that it applies to all korbanos, because again, the previous psukim are talking about all korbanos, because then you would think maybe it applies to all korbanos except for chatas, precisely because among the chatoris there are ones that are supposed to be brought into the heichel. Therefore, it does need to say chatas to tell us, nevertheless, this does apply to Chatoris HaFetzonius, and once it does that, says Rabbi Akiva, then the Vav and the Kol teach us other Korbanos as well.
Okay.
However, Omer lo Rabbi Yosi Aglivi, however, now Rabbi Yosi Aglivi says to Rabbi Akiva, no, you can't learn that way. Afilo atam marba kol ayin kulin, no matter how you all day long you can be talking about that you have a Vav and you have a Kol over here, Eini Shenei Aloch, I'm not going to listen to you, this is not an acceptable Dirosha. Because the Pasuk says Chatas, what are you telling me that? Because it says a Vav and a Kol, then you're going to include other Korbanos as well. No. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yosi Aglivi says, here's how you have to learn from it. Here's how you have to learn. When it says chatas, only ela chatas yochid, you would know if it only said the word chatas, you would think it applies only to an individual's chatas, where indeed the blood is never brought into the heichel. Chatas tzibur minayin, how would we know the same thing applies to a chatas of the tzibur? The seire rosh chodesh and mishal moyados, the ones that are brought on rosh chodesh and on the yom tovim. How would we know that they're also possible? Talmud lema kol chatas, so the word kol tells us those. The only ela chatas zohar. And then we would only know that that applies to a male animal that's brought to the chatas, chatas nekeva minayin. Now we know it applies also to a female chatas, tamadam b'chol, and then the vav tells us that also. So according to Rabbi Yosef Lili, what are we learning from the vav and the kol? We're not learning other kinds of korbanos like Rabbi Akiva says, because Rabbi Yosef Lili says the fact is it says chatas, and that means chatas. But within chatas itself, we have different categories of chatas. We have yochid versus figel, we have male versus female. And we can include all those, and we can include all those because of the vav and the kol. Well, if you want to ask Klapi Laya, which way are you going? It seems to be backwards because most chatos are a regular person's chatos is a female. Only a king among individuals brings a male chatos. So why is he saying I would only know that it means a male? How do we know a female? Once we said that, once he started with the assumption that it refers to a chatas yochid, then that would be a female by definition. So the answer is right. Ela hachikama, rather, you have to flip around the girsa in what Rabbi Yosef Lili is saying. Any ela chatas nekeva, you would have only known that applies to females, because again, a regular person's korban is a female. Chatas zocha minayin, how do we know that it also applies to a male korban, namely when the king brings a chatas, where that is a male animal, tamalem of a chol chatas, so you would learn that from the vav of a chol chatas. Tosfos though wonders, wait a minute though, you're going to flip around the girsa, but the fact is, we already said chatas tzibur, and chatas tzibur is always a male animal. There's no such thing as a female animal brought by the tzibur. So Tosfos says, in fact, maybe the girsa should be the other way around, that we would say, Eimi al chatas zocho, chatas nekeva minayin. And then what it would mean is, in other words, then Shittim Kubetza says, in other words, that we would say that, fine, you would say by a yochid, we need a special pasuk for it. By the tzibur, fine, there's no choice because by the tzibur, there's no alternative. There's nothing other than a female. So in other words, according to Shittim Kubetzis, we can salvage the girsa as we have it in front of us, and we can explain that Rabbi Yosef really would be saying like this. So we would start out by the assumption that it's chatas yochid. How do we know chatas tzibur because of the word kol? Now, by definition, a chatas tzibur is always a male. But now, how do we know among the yochid, where there is such a thing as there is a unique case of a yochid's korban being a male, namely the king, how would we know that that's included as well, would be from the vav. So that would answer Tosfos' question, because we wouldn't say automatically males are included from the tzibur, because fine, the tzibur is always going to be a male. After the son Pachim and the Birkas HaZevach, rather understand Tosfos to say as follows, that maybe the correct gisa would be first, we're including chatas nasi, and then we're saying, but how would we know that it applies to other chatas tzibur? So maybe that would be the only kind of chatas yochid to which this applies, maybe only a chatas nasi. How do we know that also applies, first of all, to a chatas tzibur, is the word kol, and then how do we know that it applies to an individual's korban, which is a female, and then we have the vav for that. So we could work it that way as well. So that's the girsa that Tosfos says. If that's the girsa, then that would be preferable, and that would be another way of learning. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yosef Lili, when the Mishnah had said that a chatos is possible and only a chatos if the blood is brought into the heichel, and Rabbi Akiva disagrees, the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva was saying is Rabbi Yosef Lili. Well, the question is, the sovereign Rabbi Yosef Lili, high kra, lahochi u'da'asa, you're telling me that Rabbi Yosef Lili holds that this word, v'chol chatos, is coming to teach us about this concept, about what korbanos are possible when the blood is brought into the heichel, that according to him it's only a chatos of the different kinds. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yosef Lili, that Rabbi Yosef Lili says a different limud that we do from that pasuk. L'fisha motzinu, Rashi takes out the word l'fisha motzinu. Kola inyan kuloi. Now, like this, the pasuk is talking about again a chatas where the blood is brought into the oil moed. So the pasuk says you can't eat it, you burn it. Now, in the most simple sense, the pasuk. So now, we're talking all this time that it means a chatas where the blood was inappropriately brought into the heichel, namely where it shouldn't have been in the heichel in the first place. It's a chatas tzitzona, and you brought it in, and the result is the korban is possible and it has to be burned. But you also have. You have korbanos that to begin with, the blood is supposed to be brought into the heichel and sprinkled over there. The parent third of Yom Kippur and a few others. With those, to begin with, you have to bring the blood into the heichel. And the fact is, those are to be burnt outside your shalayim, and they're not eaten. So now, Rabbi Yosef Lili says, kola inyan kola ein medaber ela b'poyim and istrofim v'se'irim and istrofim. The whole context of the pasuk is talking about the poyim and istrofim v'se'irim and istrofim, where they're supposed to have their blood brought into the heichel, and the Torah is saying, so now the Torah is saying they're supposed to be burnt. Now, what does that mean? If they're done with kashrus, if everything goes correctly with them and nothing goes wrong with them, then you take them out of Yerushalayim and burn them. But what happens if they become a fossil at some point during the process? Listrif suleyana besabira. Then the pasuk is telling us that they still have to be burnt. However, then they're not burnt outside Yerushalayim in the usual place where sifra korbanos would be burnt. Rather, they're burnt in the Beis Habira, which is an area in the Beis Hamikdash complex. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, on Daf Kuf Dalet, that there are a few different places that were set aside for burning psulei hamikdashin, depending on in what stage they became pasul. The word Bira itself, the Gemara says, two possibilities. Either Bira is a name for the whole Beis HaMikdash complex, or it's a specific building within the Beis HaMikdash complex. In any case, the point is that, so Rabbi Yossi is saying, the Pasuk is telling us that Sifra Korbanos, where the blood was supposed to be brought into the Hevel, and it was, but then something went wrong with the Korban and it became Pasul, so they still have to be burnt, but instead of being burnt outside your shrine, here they're being burnt in the Beis HaBir.
You ruined it.
Yeah. The lava below says the Achivase. And then
the bear cave.
No. And furthermore, that you're over a loisa, that a person is over a loisa if he eats that meat. If he eats the meat of those Korbanos, and that would be whether they're kosher or Pasul, because the Pasul is a loisa achol. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef really says that this pasuk for chol chatas is not at all talking about a chatas chitzona where the blood was brought inside. It's talking about a chatas pnimis. The Torah never tells us that you're not allowed to eat the meat. Here the Torah is telling you you're not allowed to eat the meat. The Torah never tells us what you do if the korban becomes possible. Now the Torah is telling you what you do if the korban becomes possible. Amruloi, the Chum answered him, what about Chatas Shenichnas Dom L'Fnai V'Lefnim Minayin? No, so what about a Chatas Chitzona where the blood was brought into the Hevel? Where were you learning that such a korban has to be, that such a korban can't be eaten and has to be burned? Amalahem, so Rabbi Yossi says, that I learned from the Pasuk, Hein Lai Huva. You have, in Parshas Shmini, on the eighth day of the Miluim, when Moshe asks about one of the Korbanos and finds that Aaron and his sons had burnt it, and Moshe got angry at them and asks, what happened over here? Why did you burn it instead of eating it? And he says, Hein Lehuva, you didn't bring the blood into the Hechel, and therefore, so it didn't become possible. Why didn't you eat it? Implying, had it been brought in, then it would in fact be possible to eat. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef really says, well, I can learn from that. That if the blood is brought into the Hechel, it becomes fossil. Tosfos actually wonders now. Anyway, the point is that we're saying that Yosef really is saying that I'm not learning from the whole chatas of Yehovah Midama about a chatas chitzona that's brought into the Hechel. I'm learning that from Hein Lehovah as Dama. So and the whole chatos I'm using to tell us a different din about the chatos pnimius themselves, what happens to them when they're posel, as far as burning them, and what happens whether they're kosher as posel, as far as not kosher or posel, as far as not being able to eat them. Well then, what are we saying that? So what are we saying in the previous brisa that Rabbi Yosef really is learning from the whole chatos about the chatos chitzonius? And the answer is the Dvar of Rabbi Akiva. In that Braisa, Rabbi Yosef really is saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's saying, you, Rabbi Akiva, want to learn from the whole Chatos that it means other Korbanos. I'm telling you that no, that's not a valid Jerusha, because the fact is it does say Chatos. I myself hold you, Bechlal, don't learn anything about the Chatos Chitzonius from that Pasuk. I hold you learn from Hein Lehuva. But you want to say you're learning from the whole chatas, you still don't have a basis to say that it should include other Korbanos. The most you could say is it includes all the various types of Chatos. This actually wonders then, well then, how is Rabbi Yosef really learning the other types of chatos? After all, the Pasuk Hein Lehuvah as Dama is talking about the Sor of Rosh Chodesh, which was a korban of the tzibur, and it was a male. How would he know indeed that it includes the chatos of a yochid and the chatos of a tzibur? And the Shittim Chobetz's answer is that you could learn from a Kavachoymer, that here you have Chatois HaTzibur, you have some of them are Chatois HaPnimius, and yet, if this one is not one of them, then it becomes possible. When you go in, how much more so a Chatos Yochid and a Chatos Nekeva, which is never meant to be brought into the Hechel to begin with, that if it is, it becomes possible. Mishnah continues on this topic. Chatas shekibul dama b'shnei kosis. Suppose that you receive the blood of the chatas in two different containers. You're supposed to have that you use one container and catch all the dama nefesh, but let's say you didn't do that. used two different basins, and in each of them he collected some of the blood. Yotze echad mehen lachutz. If now one of them was taken out of the Azara, now blood of Kodshim that's taken out of the Azara becomes possible, because the blood is supposed to remain in the Azara, and it's supposed to remain in the Azara, and it's supposed to be sprinkled over there. So if it goes outside the Azara, it becomes possible. But here, one container was taken out, and the other one still remained in the Azara. So now, Hapnimi kosher. So the one that remained inside the Azara will remain kosher. What happens, Nichnas Echad Mehem Lefnim? What happens if one of them was taken into the Heichel, and we've just been learning that a Chatos whose blood is taken into the Heichel becomes fossil? So would that apply to, so now does all the blood become fossil, even what stayed outside the Azara, or not? Rabbi Yosef Aglili Machshav Chitzin V'Chum Poisin. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says the one that stayed outside in the Azara will remain kosher. The Chum say the one that stayed outside in the Azara will also be possible. An interesting point that Achronim bring up is what happens if there's blood that's still available in the animal's neck that hasn't gushed out yet, and it's still available when the first container was taken into the Heichel, would it be acceptable according to the Chachamim to at least then do Kabbalah with that and do the Zrika Saddam with that, or would that already be possible? So Achronim talk about the possibilities. Maybe the Mikdash David says it would be fine. The Revolver Brisker says that no, it would be no good. Even that would be no good according to the Chachamim. But in any case, if all of it was caught in the two containers, then Rabbi Yosef Aglili says still one container is not possible by the other, and the Chum say it is. Omer Rabbi Yosef Aglili, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, I'll give you a Kavah Chomer to show that it should be kosher. Uma im b'mokim shamach shavah peselas b'chutz, madach in a case when it comes to outside the Azara, where a machshava can passel. Namely, we learned earlier in the Masechta all about pigul, and what is pigul? The definition of it is that you're the definition of or not pigle to be exact, but posel, chutz l'mekoymo, we talk about earlier in the Masechta, that if he has in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood of the korban outside the azara, then that makes the korban posel. Even though he didn't actually follow through with that. He just checked it, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood outside, and that already makes the korban possible. And yet, so I also have some ashuryo kayotze, and yet we just said that if one mizrach was taken outside the azara, it doesn't passel the other. So we see that the machshava to sprinkle it outside will passel, but the actual taking it out will not passel. It will only passel whatever was taken out. Well then, well then, when it comes to Bifnim, where Machshava is not even possible in the first place, if the Kohen has in mind, when he shechts the Korban, that he's going to sprinkle some of the blood inside the Heifel, that isn't possible to Korban. If he actually does that, then it will make the Korban possible, but not if he thinks it. So then, Enidin, Shalai Nasas, I'm assure you, Kenichnas, how much more so, says Rabbi Yisrael Lili, that what stayed outside of the Azara should not be possible like what went in. So the same way as taking it out does not possible what remained inside, even though thinking to sprinkle it outside will possible it. So here, taking it in should not possible what remained in the Azara, all the more so considering that even thinking to sprinkle it inside is not going to possible it. So it seems like a valid Tal V'Chomer. So the Gemara will explain why the Chachamim disagree with that. The Mishnah continues. Nichnas l'chaper. What if he took the blood into the heichel, having in mind that he was going to be mechaper with it, that he was going to sprinkle it? Afal pi shalei kippur. Even if he didn't actually accomplish the kapara, he didn't actually sprinkle with it. Possible. Digger Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says nevertheless it'll still be possible because he took it in. Rabbi Shimon ama actually chaper. Rabbi Shimon says no. It would have to be that he actually used it for sprinkling. Now, the pasuk says l'chaper. So basically the question is, does that mean whether that he actually was mechaper or not? As we'll see in a little bit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Hichnas Shogeg Kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says if he takes it in there b'shogeg, then it will be kosher only if he takes it in knowing that he's not supposed to. What does it mean b'shogeg in this case? The Raivad discusses. Does that mean that he thinks it's a chatos pnimius, or he doesn't know that it becomes possible in this way? So. The Mishnah finishes off. Kol domim psulim shenitnu al gabei hamizbeach. Any of these cases where we're talking about where the blood is possible, for example, we just talked about where it was taken out of the Azara, if now it was brought back in and sprinkled on the Mizbeach, loy hirtzat tzitz, the tzitz does not make the korban acceptable. Now, the Torah tells us the Kohen Gadol's tzitz is l'rotzen lahem, it's to make it acceptable for them to Hashem. It's not clear, because in the Gemara in a few places, whether that applies only when the Kohen is rearing the tzitz, or does it apply as long as the tzitz exists. In any case, the point is that it makes that there are certain kinds of cases where a korban would be possible, and the tzitz makes it acceptable after all. But that does not work with most psulim. Ela ala tomei. It only works when the blood or the korban became tomei, because that's the rule. Shatzitz meratza ala tomei, then meratza ala yotze. The tzitz can make the korban acceptable only when there's tumor involved, but not when there's yotze involved, as the Gemara learns in various places from psukim. So the bottom line is, once the blood is taken out of the azara, it will be possible, and there's no way of making that blood kosher again. Nevertheless, it doesn't affect the rest of the blood that stayed in the azara, and that was the basis for Rabbi Yosi Aglili's Kal V'Chomer to argue that the same thing should be true as far as blood that was brought into the azara. So now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in a Braise, expanding on what it said in the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Kal V'Chomer, that he makes a Kal V'Chomer, like he said in the Mishnah, a case where you have in mind to sprinkle the blood outside the azara, and that makes the korban possible. Nevertheless, what you took outside the azara does not possible the blood that remained in the azara. So then, when it comes to b'fnim, where the machshava doesn't pass all in the first place, ain't it initially yifsel damshu b'fnim? That's shabachutz. Then how much more so the blood that was taken into the heichel shouldn't pass all what was outside? The same argument that he made in the Mishnah. Now in the Mishnah, the Chachamim did not respond to him, but in the Braisa they do. Omruloi, the Chum say, it's a valid kavachomer, but harehu omer asher yuvam midama. However, the pasuk says that of its blood is taken, and the men means some of its blood. Afilu mitzas dama. So even if only some of the blood is taken in, then it passes it. It would have been a valid kavachomer, but that's the fact is the Torah by putting that letter mem teaches us it's not so. On the Lahem, Rabbi Yisrael Levi says, well, then in that case, then maybe we should flip around the Kal V'Chomer that I was trying to use, and maybe we should say, on the contrary, that blood that's taken out of the Azara should pass all the rest of it. Because we could say, Kal V'Chomer l'yotze me'ata. If you're telling me that we have to learn from the Mem of Midama that it means that even if only some of the blood is taken to the heichel, and that passes all of it, so now let's use that as the basis for a Kal V'Chomer. So madach, when it comes to inside the heichel, where the machshava does not passel it, posel dam b'fnim esher b'chutz, nevertheless the blood was taken inside, nevertheless the blood that was taken inside passels what remained outside. Well then, when it comes to the place where machshava does passel, namely outside, because if you had in mind to sprinkle the blood outside the azara, it becomes possible. Ein adin sheyifsel dam shemachutz as shebefnim. Shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that the blood that was taken out of the azara should passel from sprinkling the blood that remained inside the azara? And yet, you chachamim did not disagree with that in the Mishnah. Well, why not? Mela me, I hold for whatever reason, I'm not going to douse in that mem, so I don't have it, so just the opposite, I would stick with my kal v'chomer. But if you're telling me that the mem overrides my kal v'chomer, then in that case, we should turn around the kal v'chomer and appoint to you. In both cases, taking one cup of the blood outside the zone where it belongs should pass all the other. Omruloi, the Chum answer him, Harei Omashi Yuva. Sure, but the pasuk says that is brought in, meaning into the Heichel. Hanichnas posel ve'ena yotze posel. So therefore, by that, the Torah is teaching us, even though that would have been a good logical Kal V'Chomer to make, nevertheless, the Torah is telling us only what goes into the Heichel passel, only what goes into the Heichel passels the rest of it, and not what goes outside. So yes, what itself goes outside is going to be possible, but it won't passel the rest of the blood, because that's not in the category of Asher Yuva. Okay. So now the Gemara says, well, let's try several other Kal V'Chomers that we can make along these lines. Again, now that so far we've established that blood taken out of the Azara is kosel, however, it doesn't passel the rest of it. Blood that is brought into the Heichel, according to the B'Yosag Lili, does not passel the rest of it, and according to the Chum, it does. But nevertheless, all this time we've been saying that both the B'Yosag Lili and the Chachamim have been taking it as a given that, That machshava will passel only when you have in mind to sprinkle the blood outside, but not where you have in mind to sprinkle the blood inside the hevel. Well then, let's revisit that. Why don't we use a kavachomer to say that machshava should passel if he has in mind to sprinkle the blood inside the hevel? When the blood was taken outside the Azara, it doesn't pass all the rest that was inside. And we said both Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Chacham agree to that. And yet, Machshava is stronger and it will pass all everything, the entire carbon. So then, according to the Chachamim, if blood taken inside the Hechel passels the rest of the carbon, even the blood that stayed outside the Azara, ain't a din, shekei Machshava v'selas b'fnim. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that a machshava to sprinkle it inside should in fact passel the korban? Why do the chum say no? And the answer is harayu omer by yom hashlishi. Because where do we learn the concept of chutz l'makomer? Because the pasuk says if he has in mind to eat it by yom hashlishi. Now earlier in the Masechta, when we dealt extensively with the din of a pig or an apostle, the Gemara had established over there that this pasuk is referring to both the case of chutz l'zmanoi, where he has in mind to eat or sprinkle the blood outside the proper time, and chutz l'makomer, where he has in mind to sprinkle it outside the azara. And the expression in the pasuk had been by Yom HaShlishi on the third day, which we learn from that the machshava passels only mokum shiyem b'shulosh, but dam b'bosser ve'emurim. Only when it's a place that is tripled as far as dam b'bosser and emurim, and therefore that excludes the heichel. Now, when we learned this earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chof Tes, Rashi had given an explanation over there which Tosfos didn't like, and there were a whole bunch of explanations in Tosfos of what this Mokum Mesholosh means. Rashi had understood Mokum Mesholosh to mean a place in which you can't do any of these things. You can't sprinkle blood of most korbanos inside the hevel, only a chatas of minis. You can't eat the meat over there because you're not supposed to eat inside the hevel, and you can't burn the emunim over there. One of Tosfos' objections to that was that earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Samach Gimel, we learned that there actually is a case where you're allowed to eat the meat inside the Hechel, namely if Goyim are besieging the Azara and shooting arrows and projectiles and whatever into it, as has happened in Jewish history in the period before and even maybe after the Nes Chanukah, for example, such things were happening. There was a fortress that the Greeks had in Yerushalayim called the Chakra, where they used to where they were attacking the Bris Mikdash from it. So then the Kohenim might be forced to eat inside the Hechel, where at least they're protected by the walls. So we see you could eat meat of Korbanos inside the Hechel, says Tosfos. So Tosfos had brought a whole bunch of other possibilities of what this Mokum Mesholosh means. It can mean that a machshava applies only to avoidus on the mizbeach achitzen, where all three things are done. Blood is sprinkled over there. Meat of certain korbanos, such as an ola, is burnt there, and a murim are burnt over there. But Tosfos pointed out that didn't work either, because pigul can apply to korbanos that are sprinkled inside the heichel as well. Another possibility Tosfos had said means that the person himself who's having the machshava has to be standing inside the azara, but Tosfos doesn't like that explanation either. Another explanation is that he has in mind to sprinkle it in a place where all three of them would be possible. So, for example, he has in mind to sprinkle the blood outside of your shalayim, where nothing of korbanos is kosher outside of there. And then it would have to be another possibility is that he has to think that it's a day when all three of them are possible. He has in mind to sprinkle the blood on the third day, 2 days from now. So all of these explanations and Mokum Mesholosh, each of them, Tosfos have pointed out various questions on them. But in any case, the point is we learn that, and therefore we see from that that Machshava does not passel when it comes to the Hechel. So therefore, yeah, again, you might have used the Kavachomer for that, but the Pasuk is telling you by Yom HaShlishi to tell us otherwise. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, maybe now let's turn the Kavachomer around. Maybe we should say that Machshava does not passel bachutz. Veloite Machshava b'selos bachutz in the Kavachomer. Maybe we should be able to use the Kavachomer to say that Machshava does not passel when you have in mind to sprinkle the blood outside the Azara. And you would argue, ma mokum shepossel dam shebefnim, madoch when the madoch shepossel dam shebefnim es shebachos, madoch where according to the Chachamim bringing blood into the Hechel passels the blood that was left outside of the Azara, ein machshava v'selos befnim, and yet we just established that machshava does not passel if you have in mind to sprinkle the blood inside, mokum shepossel dam shebachos es shebefnim, well then, when taking one container of blood outside the Azara does not passel the other, as we've been saying all this time, How much more so the machshava should not hassle when it's outside? And the answer is no. Again, the pasuk tells us otherwise. Talmud Bana Shlishi. Therefore, again, the pasuk tells us Shlishi, from which we learn Utzvus Mano. That's where we learn that if he has in mind to eat from the blood beyond the time, and there's no korban that can be eaten on the third day from when it was brought, because even a shlomim and bechor and meiser, the maximum is 2 days. So then chutzas manoi. Then we learn from that that if he has in mind the third day, then he has chutzas manoi. And we also learn chutzas manoi tigel and from the word so chutz from shlishi we learn chutzas manoi tigel chutz from the koma, and from the fact that Oz continues with the word tigel. Even though pigle really in and of itself means chutzas manoi, but there the Gemara had explained earlier in the Masechta that here the word pigle teaches us chutzas makoimai, and therefore it's clear that there's a psul of chutzas makoimai, and there's no way that any kabachoimai can override that. So that's what we're left with. A machshava of chutzas makoimai will passel. A machshava of inside the heifer will not passel. On the other hand, taking blood outside the azara does not passel what remained inside. On the other hand, taking it inside the heichel, then you have the machlokas, Rabbi Yosef Lili, and the chachamim of whether it'll passel the rest or not. But each of these things we can back up with a pasuk, and therefore there's no kavachoymos that we can say that we could apply one of them to the other. Okay. Now the Gemara says, fine. What about, so now we're talking all about, so far we've been talking all about as far as the blood of the korban, whether it went outside the azara or remained inside the azara, etc. What about basar hayotzei l'chutz pasul? What about when it comes to meat of korbanos, which goes outside the place where it belongs, then it's also pasul. That we learn, as the Gemara is going to say, a few lines down, when the pasuk says, basar v'asada tshreisa loisei chelu, meat that's torn in the field, you should not eat. We learn from that, of course, the concept of tshreisa, that if an animal suffered a fatal injury or illness, then it becomes tshreisa. But also because it says, basada implies that it's in the field without mechitzis, and from that we learn that any time that meat is outside of the proper mechitzis that it's supposed to be in, then it becomes pasul. So that comes to include also, for example, some meat of kodshim kodshim that was taken out of the azara, or meat of kodshim kalim that was taken outside Yerushalayim. Now, on the other hand, if the meat of the korban was taken into the heichel kosher, then it remains kosher. And as we just said before, you do even have cases where the kohenim can take it into the heichel, namely where the azara is being besieged. Now, you would have thought not. Shiyahei b'din shepasul. You would have thought a kavachomer to say that it's possible. You would argue, umma b'mokim shalei posul dam shebechutzah shebefneim. We've just established that taking some of the blood outside the azara does not passel the rest, and yet bosa yotzeh l'chutz posul, and yet meat, the meat itself taken out of the azara will be posul, and you can't bring it back into the azara and eat it. So you would argue, mokim proposal dam shebefnim as shebechutz. Well then, the heichel is blood that's brought into it, passels even the blood that remains outside, basar, and nichnas befnim, ain't a din sheyifsel. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then, that if meat of the korban was taken into the heichel, that it should passel, that it should at least passel itself, and maybe even passel the rest of the meat that remained in the azara? Why don't we say that? And the answer is Harehu Omer Midoma, because the pasuk says that of its blood was blood. From which we learn Doma v'lo basar, so it applies only to the meat. It applies only to the blood. It does not apply to the. It does not apply to the meat. So therefore, so if the meat is brought in, then no, it doesn't passel anything at all. Not itself, and not any other. A couple of the achronim point out. The Gemara could have anyway easily slogged up the kavachomer. What do you mean? When with chutz machshava passels, and we've just established that with pnim, that with the heichel machshava doesn't passel. So therefore, we have good reason to say that there's a difference between taking meat out and versus taking it in. But the Sfasemis gives an answer, because after all, just thinking to take the meat out doesn't passel the korban. So the same way, so the Gemara would say, so the Gemara was making the kavachomer from the case where the person is having in mind, not only if he has in mind to take out the meat, if he has in mind to take out the blood, that doesn't passel the korban either. Only if he has in mind to sprinkle the blood outside. Well, very well then, we can compare thinking to take the blood outside versus thinking to take it inside, and thinking to take the meat inside, and we have still a valid kavachomer. Now, Tosfos anyway wonders, why do we even need a pasuk to tell us not to meet? The pasuk says lachafer, and by definition, kapara is done only with the blood. An answer given from a velvet brisker that the Kavah Chomer wouldn't have told us that the meat itself should the Kavah Chomer, we wouldn't actually be learning from the blood of the Chatas, we'd be learning from the case where the meat was taken inside the Azara. And over there, Lachafer is not relevant. So the same way over here, we would argue that Kapara is not relevant as well. Another point that Achronim bring up is, after all, we just said before that you could bring the meat in when there's an emergency and they can't eat it in the Azara, so of course it's not going to be pasuk. And then the Gemara earlier had learned that from a pasuk as well. So why do we need now a pasuk to tell us that it won't be pasuk? And the answer is because in our Mishnah, we talked about Rabbi Yehuda had said that if he brings in the blood b'shogeg, it also doesn't become pasuk. Well, by the same token, if they brought it in b'onus, it doesn't become pasuk either. The same way, when they're bringing in the meat, b'onus, then we wouldn't say it's pasuk. The question is, if they brought it in when there's no onus, when there's no siege of the Azara, would it become pasuk? And the answer is no. Since the pasuk says gama, then it means only the blood becomes pasuk, not the meat. Well, the Gemara asks again, Kavachomer me'ata. So then in that case, we should be able to flip around the Kavachomer and say, so now if blood that's brought into the Heichel, according to the Chachamim, passes what's left outside of the Azara, and yet we just established that if meat of the korban is brought into the Heichel, it remains kosher. So then, if blood taken out of the Azara does not pasul the rest of the blood that remained in the Azara, only what was taken out remains, becomes pasul. Bosa ayotza lachotz and dincha kosher. How much more so we could argue that the meat of it taken out of the Azara does not become pasul and should remain kosher, and you can bring it back into the Azara and eat it. And the answer is no. The pasuk says meat that's trefer in the field you can't eat. Once the meat is taken out of the mechitza where it's supposed to be, then it becomes treif. Then it becomes awesome. So the pasuk is telling us that, and you can't say any kavachomer against that. And as far as how would we know that the same thing is true? As far as blood that's taken out, Rashi says, first of all, there would be a kavachomer because we would learn a kavachomer from the meat, and also because we said that, and also because of the pasuk Heim Lo Hovas Dama that we learned on, that we talked about on Amud Aleph, where Moshe is telling them that if the blood was taken chutz the mechitzasa, then I agree the korban would be possible and you'd have to burn it. And they tell him that no, the blood remained in the Azara like it was supposed to. Tosfos points out that actually the drasha later on in the Masechta, in the 12th parak of our Masechta, is a little bit different, and then the Gemara learns the drasha a little differently over there. Next, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when the pasuk, let's focus on that pasuk, Hein Lo Hovah Es Dama, Moshe says to them, Hein Lo Hovah Es Dama El HaKodesh Pnima. Behold, the blood of this korban was not brought into the Kodesh inward, and therefore you should have eaten the korban and you shouldn't have burnt it. So, pnima, when it says inside, ainli ala pnima, you would only know that means if the blood was brought into the actual Kodesh HaKadosh, which is pnima, which is as far in as you can go. Heichel minayin, how do we know it becomes possible when you just take it into the heichel? Tamalema, ela Kodesh pnima. Therefore, the pasuk is ela Kodesh pnima, and the double expression, ela Kodesh means into the Kodesh, and pnima means into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Gemara asks, "Yoma Kodesh val Yoma Pnima." Well, then it could just say Kodesh; it doesn't have to say Pnima. And obviously, to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to go through the Heichol first. No, so then in that case, so just say Kodesh, and automatically, once it's brought into the Kodesh, it becomes possible. And there's no need to mention that if it's brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because by definition, you're going to get into it only that way. And the answer is Omar Rava Bozev Limid Alzeh. So Rava says because one of them comes to clarify the other one. It's true, one of them by itself might have been enough, but that one we wouldn't have known which one it refers to. Needed to have a toshav v'socher. We can compare it to the way the Torah mentions a toshav and a socher who are not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, and they're not allowed to eat truma. Specifically, let's focus where it says truma. D'tanya, we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk talks about a koyan and his family and his avodim knanim are allowed to eat truma. However, the pasuk says that a toshav and a socher are not allowed to. What do those mean? Toshav is a konikinin olam. The word toshav, which means a resident, means an eved ivri who's going to be working for him for la'olam, not literally la'olam, but in other words, until yovel. As the pasuk says, va'avod la'olam, which means until yovel. Socher Zakone Kinyan Shani. And Socher refers to a regular Eved Ivri who's only there for 6 years. So neither of them, because they're Yisraelim, and they're not actually, neither of them, the Kohen doesn't have a Kinyan Aguf in either one of them. The Kohen doesn't own the body of the Eved Ivri, unlike he owns the body of the Eved Kanani. Therefore, the Eved Ivri, if he's not a Kohen, is not allowed to eat Shroma. Now, the question is, the Bryce says, Yoma Toshav al Yoma Sotir. So in that case, why does the Torah have to mention both of them? Just say Toshav, which means the one who's there until Yovel. Don't mention Sotir at all. Vani Omer, and we would make an obvious Kalachomer. Konikinyan Olamene Oichel. If one who's acquired he's had his ear pierced and he stays on till Yovel and even he can't eat Truma. Konikinyan Shanim Lekoshkin. How much more so if he's there only for 6 years, how much more so that he can't eat Truma? So why does the Torah need to specify that neither does the Torah need to specify by both then? And the answer is, Ilukain, if that was so, it's true, the Torah could have phrased it that way, but then, ho yisi'oim, a Toshav zakonikin in Shonim, you would misunderstand. You would say the word Toshav refers to the one who's there for only 6 years. Abba konikin in olam yehe'echol, you would say that once he's acquired until Yovel, because his ear was pierced, maybe then the Kohen has enough of an ownership of him that he could eat Truma. So therefore, so both Socher, Rilumin al Toshav, therefore we need both, because the word Socher helps clarify for us the word Toshav, Shazakoni, Kinin Olam, Zakoni, Kinin Shanim, that both of them, that one is that the Socher is the one, that the Toshav is, so the Toshav is the one who's there, Tor Yovel, and the Socher is the one who's there for 6 years, the Ina Othor, and neither of them is allowed to be. So in other words, it is true, it could have said only one word, but that one word will be subject to being misinterpreted, therefore we need both of them. So the same way, says Rava over here, if it said only El HaKodesh, you would think it means the Kodesh HaKadoshin. By saying Pnima, the word Pnima obviously means the Kodesh HaKadoshin, because there's no other way. Because what else could it mean? Pnima means the most innermost one. And therefore, El HaKodesh clarifies for us that it means the Kodesh as well. So it's not extra. Omele Abaya, but Abaya says that's not really a valid comparison. The Shlema Hossam Tre Gufi Ninu. Because you know what? When it comes to the Toshav and the Socher, each one is a different body after all. They are two different Avodim Ivrim. So each one, you could say, So in other words, we could have learned one from a Kavah Choymer with the other. Now, you could say, so why did the Torah use the word either Toshav or Socher? You're telling me that Toshav and Socher are both ambiguous, and therefore we need both of them? Well, very simple. The Torah could have avoided the whole problem by just saying the word Nirtza, that an Eved who's had his ear pierced is not allowed to eat Truma, and we would understand from that the Idach, and then we would understand the one of who's there for only 6 years, also a Kavah Choymer. You would learn by an obvious Kavah Choymer, and then you wouldn't say that you need one in order to teach the other. But you could say, fine, Nilsa, the Alsi B'Kavachoyim, a Torah for Kosov Lakros. Still, sometimes we find something which the Torah could have learned by a Kavachoyim, but instead the Torah takes the trouble to write it out for us explicitly. So fine, you could say, in other words, that over there, since after all, we are talking about two different kinds of Eved, so fine, the Torah could have used one word that would cover everything, use the word Nirtza, but instead the Torah chose to use one of them and we can say, and so the Torah could have written one and we would have learned with the other with Kavah Choymer, but sometimes, and then the Torah would have done that, the Torah could have written both of them without it being considered repetitious. So the same way over here, when we have Toshav and Socher, so we can say, Bozev Alimud Alzev, one of them teaches about the other. Ela Hocha, given the Ikka de Ifsel Behechel, Hocha, Lefnai Velefnim Maboy. But here, by definition, in order to be, you're talking about one place. You're talking about two different Avodims. This Eved is not allowed to eat, and that Eved is not allowed to eat. But here, we're talking about it's all a continuum. In order to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to go through the Hechel. As soon as the Korban becomes possible by bringing the blood into the Hechel, right away, then it's already possible before you get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mm-hmm. So then, why bother? So the Torah should have instead the Torah could have used the word Heichel, in other words, unlike by the Eved Ivri, we're fine. We could say, after all, they are two different people, and therefore we might need a Kavah Choymer to learn one from the other. Here you don't need a Kavah Choymer. Here you just need to be said there's one place where if you bring in the blood it becomes fossil, namely the Heichel. So why use the word Kodesh and the word Pnima and say but either of them is ambiguous and you don't know which one means the Heichel and therefore we need both? Just say the word Heichel flat out and make it clear that that's what it is, and then you don't don't need anything else. Elomar Abaya. So rather, Abaya says, L'nitzuch elo derech l'shupa. You know why you need the word pnima? Is what if you brought in the blood shaloi kedarka? What if, for example, you crawled in through the roof? Or what if, for example, we find that there were skylights in the Kodesh HaKadoshim through which they would lower boxes when people needed to do repairs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would send people down in boxes through holes in the roof, through holes in the ceiling to do their repairs. So now, what happens if a person brings in the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim that kind of way? So he didn't go through the Kodesh. Nevertheless, the Torah needs to tell us that it's possible. So then it's similar to Torah and Sachar. Amalei Rava. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses that derech mishupash may not mean that. It might mean actually where. So there might be a difference. Tosfos points out sometimes derech mishupash might mean where he actually like breaks through the roof. There wasn't a hole there in the roof before, and he broke in and came in an unusual way. Here we could in fact be talking about, like we just said, where he went in through one of these skylights. Or another possibility is he went in through a side entrance or something. We learned earlier in Masechta, for example, that there was a window or a small door on the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim for technical reasons having to do with being able to shecht korbanos behind the heichal, and therefore you could say that he went in through there. So therefore, the Torah didn't tell us that the blood is...
Where is that located? Where is that mentioned?
It's mentioned earlier in Perek Ezer Mekoyman. The Gemara mentioned that there was a lul, which means like a little window or a doorway. So that, because you have to have, in order to shecht korbanos in the Azara, you have to be Pesach Oyel Moed. You have to be in front of the door of the Oyel Moed. So that would only cover the eastern half of the Azara. What about the areas next to the Heifel? What about the area behind the Heifel? So the Gemara explains there were side doors for there. However, Amalei Rava v'havok, Rava says no. In fact, the blood would not be possible in that way because the pasuk says actually yuva, meaning that it has to be brought in the normal way. If he comes in derech mishukosh, then that's not considered the normal way. Ela Amalei Rava. So no, Rava says what it means is the reason why the Torah has to say ela kodesh and pnima is because kol davar dechosh valei lefnai velefnim. If he has in mind as far as this blood that he's going to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lo nifsel beheichel, it does not in fact become fossil if he brings it into the heichel. Because in other words, so there is an actual din that we learn from the word pnima that if he brought it into the heichel the normal way, but he was thinking to begin with that he's going to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkle it over there, it does not yet become possible when he's in the heichel, then it would in fact become possible only when he brings it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that we learn from the word, pnimah. So the Gemara asks in this connection a few more lines. What about some cases where blood is supposed to be brought into the heichal? So boyirava, harhelam davashal tzibul v'sorodavodes kofavim. What about when it comes to some of the chatoris apnimius, the harhelam davar and the goat that's brought if the tzibul did avodizara, and for that matter also you have the par koin mashiach. All of those, the blood is supposed to be sprinkled in the heichal, but not the kodesh hakadosh. So what about shenichnes dam lefnai velefnim? What if he did bring the blood into the kodesh hakadoshim? Mahu what did it in? Miyam min el kodesh pnima. Do we apply what we just said from the pasuk el kodesh pnima, meaning kol heicha de korinon el kodesh korinon le pnima, that wherever el kodesh applies, pnima applies. So therefore, in other words, since this korban was the blood was supposed to be brought into the heifel and sprinkled there, but we say that only when it's possible by being brought into the Kodesh, namely a Chatas Chitzona, which is not supposed to be brought into the Kodesh. So then if you bring it in, then it becomes possible. So then Pnima would apply as well, like we just said, if he had in mind specifically to sprinkle it in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But Kol Heicha Dolei Korin El HaKodesh Le Korin Pnima. But here where these Korbanos are supposed to be brought into the Kodesh, he didn't do anything wrong by bringing them into the Kodesh. They're supposed to be there. So maybe Pnima wouldn't apply. And maybe even if he brings it into the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Korban wouldn't become possible. Maybe the fact is it's the wrong place because these korbanos are supposed to be only in the heichal. If you're going to answer that yes, the fact is it is shaloi b'mekayman, and therefore it becomes possible because yeah, any time we would say that you bring it into a zone further in than it belongs, it would be possible. So by chatoris hachatzonius that would mean bringing it into the heichal, and by chatoris hapnimius outside of the parent sword of Yom Kippur, it would mean bringing it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you're going to say that, continues Rava. What about Paragasoshi and the Kippurim? Shehizim Midoman Abadim. What about when it comes to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, where they are supposed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now suppose he brings them in and he sprinkles them Bein Abadim, like he's supposed to. But then he took it out of the Heichel, and then he brought it back into there, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where it doesn't belong there anymore. Mahu, then what do? Do we say the fact is this is a valid place for it, because they did belong here at one point? Or maybe once it was taken out, and now it doesn't belong there anymore, so now it's considered Shloim of Kaimai from now on. And if you're going to answer that, yes, once it was brought out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it's brought out and now it doesn't belong into the Kodesh HaKadoshim anymore, and if he brings it back in, it will in fact be tonsil, then we can ask, what about if you sprinkled the blood of these korbanos on the parochas? Well, he'd see him on Mizbeah, and then he took him out to the, and then he took him out to the Mizbeah HaPnimi, to the Mizbeah HaKtodes, to do the sprinklings and the applications of blood on there, v'ichnisan, and then he brought it back towards the Paredes. Mahu, what would be the din? Does that become possible? On the one hand, it's definitely the same place, because the Mizbeah HaZahav and the Parochas are all within the Hekel. Or the fact is, the Torah calls it Yitzia. The Torah says, the Yotze El HaMizbeach, that he has to go out to the Mizbeach, so now it's considered to be in a new zone, and therefore maybe now it becomes possible if he goes back in, even though it's inside the Hekel, maybe it's considered to be in a separate zone. So the Gemara says, Teiku, as far as that one is Teiku. The Rambam regularly paskins like in Tim Salimar's, so therefore the result is with the first two of these, we say that it is in fact possible. With the first two of these, we say it is in fact possible because, yes, the Gemara has said if you're going to say that it's possible, so we accept that. As far as the third one, I think the Rambam also says that it's possible because the fact is the Torah does say Yitzia, and therefore that's reason enough to consider it, even though it's all within the Heichel, it is in effect considered a separate zone, and therefore it will in fact be possible if he brings it back to the Parochas and sprinkles it over there.
Thank you so much.